things. And, you know, outdoors, right? There are things that we pursue that in and of themselves may not be wrong, right? There are many things in our life that are absolutely intended to be enjoyed. God gave them to us. To find joy. Intimate relationship in a marriage. Meant to find joy, but yet somewhere in the midst of that, we choose to utilize them in ways they were not meant to be utilized. We get so overly focused in this desire of self. Seeking happiness. I've had those times in my life, I can tell you, and I've had more than one of them, where I just feel like life's not good to me right now, and I need to do something. I got to go chase something. I'm not satisfied, so I'm going to chase this for a while. I've had those. I'd imagine each of you, if you've lived for very long, I'd imagine you recognize it. You've recognized at times that you've done that. You've gotten so focused on pursuing happiness, self-happiness, that you've forgotten. You've missed out on life. You got too focused on self. You forgot what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. I don't know about you, but I think Jesus meant all. That is, everything in our life, everything that would ever bring value to us. Remember, He's our Creator, so He knows what brings value. Seek first the kingdom of God. In other words, filter everything in your life first in putting Jesus on the throne of your life. Start out with Jesus on my throne. Jesus on the throne of your life. And then, keeping that in mind, then you can pursue those other things that, again, may be wonderful things. But we get them out of focus. We get too caught up into it. You ever see a dog? Car. You guys have dogs in this area that are loose chasing cars. I used to live in Pettyville when I was growing up, and we had a few dogs. Every time you drove through a certain area, it's going to come down off the hill and it's going to come after you. How many of those dogs did you ever see catch those cars? And then what did you see the dog do when it caught it? I remember, again, this one particular dog, quite often, he come down off the hill, and I like to, once I get a little older, I'm driving my own car, sometimes I stop just for a moment. And what did the dog do? And then he'd turn around, and he'd look, and then next thing you know, he might start heading back in the other direction, yet still maybe barking and looking back once in a while. Once he caught it, whatever it was he was chasing, he really didn't know what to do with it. If he does catch it, what happens when the next one comes down the road? He's chasing after it, or she. Chasing after it. I really feel like I found myself no different than that dog in chasing after it. Chasing after it, chasing after it, chasing after it. And somewhere in the midst of it, that dog. Sometimes when that dog came down the road, I'd slip the door open. I know that's not a good thing. I'm not encouraging you doing it. But I'm saying sometimes in our life, when in our pursuit of happiness, it's dangerous. Besides the fact you might have got caught underneath the wheels. In our pursuit of happiness, how many times have we damaged ourselves, hurt ourselves, hurt our family, hurt our loved ones? The challenging thing is quite often, we don't see it until we're past it. And then we look back and think, what was I thinking? I remember one thing sticks out in my life. I ran the half marathon 20-some years ago and 50-some pounds earlier. And I loved that. It was a fun race. But I can tell you, when I finished that race, I remember finding myself a little frustrated because I realized that I'd gotten so overly focused at times. Other things began to lose focus because I was so narrowly focused on doing well in that race. Now listen, there was nothing wrong with running that race. Absolutely nothing wrong. There was nothing preparing for that race. The problem was, I recognized in my life, I was too overly focused. You find that in your life. And you see, God God here wants us to examine ourselves in the midst of it instead of examining and looking back and saying, Was I wrong? What is it that you're chasing too intently in your life? You know, we often think of serving God meaning we just got to give everything up. All I am is beautiful. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Like in boot camp in the Marine Corps, you know, I've told you, you just do what they're told. You learn, that's the best thing, just do what they're told. And you just feel this sense of, there's no joy in my life. I just do what I'm told. We get this sense sometimes. Now listen, God wants us to do what we're told. Don't misunderstand me. But we get this wrong attitude that serving God just means to be dutiful and it's just pain and suffering and frustration and nothing. There's no joy in it. You know, sometimes we Christians, we find ourselves sour looks on our faces too often because we don't realize truly the Bible teaches us that in our pursuit, in being dutiful to God and putting Jesus in the rightful place in our life is really putting us in the best place to find the joy that the Creator has intended us. Serving God in the way He wants us to, or as Job put it, now listen, we've been playing this together. As Job put it, walking with God it requires us to choose to say, I want you on the throne of my life. We've got to decide to do that. It's not accidental. You don't just get up and it just happens. You've got to plan it. You've got to be intentional about it. You need to choose on a regular basis to say, I want you on the throne. Best place to find fulfillment. Now listen, that doesn't mean Christians don't have their hard days. I could ask each of you probably, if you've been a Christian very long, to get up here and talk about some of your hard days. It's a reality. You will have trouble in this life. We don't like losing a loved one. We don't like being sick. We don't like losing jobs. We don't like all those things. We dislike all the things that happen to us just as much as those who are not Christians. The difference is we have a hope that will not go regardless of what's happening around us. And we can find the joy in the midst of those things if we put Jesus in the rightful place, that is, on the throne of our life. Ultimately, the good life that everyone seeks, regardless of their thoughts towards Jesus Christ, is found in putting Him on the throne of our life. Jesus tells us that so emphatically. Matthew chapter 16, verse 24. Matthew chapter 16, verse 24. Is my mic on? It doesn't sound like it is with you guys. Can you all hear me okay? Matthew chapter 16, verse 24. And Jesus told His disciples, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? For what shall a man give in return for his soul? For the Son of Man is going to come with His angels in the glory of His Father, and He will repay each person according to what He has done. Lynn, would you pray for our message this morning? Please pray. feel like you're drudging and it's a little hard this week in preparing this sermon, I just, I love the Lord. I love speaking about Him. I love teaching about Him. But, you know, sometimes I have a rough time at it as well. So listen, don't feel like you're unchristian because you had a bad day. This is not about, listen, finding happiness in God or finding joy, whatever, finding that, we're all going to, I believe we're going to wrestle that until we're 60, because there are some things in life that we just don't quite understand. But I want to tell you this morning, I serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And I know that each and every time that I make a choice to put Him on the throne, I'm making a good decision for myself. I'm making a good decision for my family. I'm making a good decision for my community every time that I put Jesus on the throne of my life. That's what I hope you get this morning. I recognize that in my own life. That's what He taught. And there are so many who have went before us who have found that same as well. But Jesus here insists. He insists that being a Christian requires a denial of self. Being a Christian, a Christ follower, right? I've talked with some of you, and I've talked with some of my fellow Christians that sometimes we wrestle with those terminologies, Christian, evangelist, whatever. Christ follower, if you are this morning, if you proclaim yourself to put faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and you choose to be a follower, it requires a denial of self. If you have not chosen to deny any aspect of yourself, you're not following Jesus. Coming to church is not a denial of self. Reading the Bible is not a denial of self. It's choosing to what you do on a regular basis. What do you think about concerning your jobs? What do you think about how you spend your retirement money or where you go or what you're doing on a daily basis? I'm not suggesting that everything we do, we say, God, should I turn left or should I turn right? Which pair of shoes should I put on, God? That's not what I'm saying. But I'm telling you, if you don't sense within your life that you're regularly thinking, God, what would honor you this morning? You're not following Jesus. Yes, He's hard to keep up with, Joe. He's hard to keep up with. But it requires a denial. It requires some recognition that you've stepped off of that trail, right, Joe? You got to recognize it. I was thinking about your trail walking when you said that. I thought you'd probably be thinking about that too. What's the name of that trail? I forget. Appalachian Trail. You get lost on the Appalachian Trail, boy, wouldn't it be nice to have someone to get you back on the trail, right? Jesus Christ is continuing. Standing there with open arms like He was in Jerusalem. How many times I would have pulled you in like a hen does her chicks. But what does He say? But I forgot about you and I turned around. No, I was reaching out to you. I was pulling you in. But you would not. You've got to choose to say, I want you on the throne. You've got to recognize that what the Bible says is true and what this foolish pastor is saying is true, that putting Him on the throne is putting you in the best place to find that sense of joy, peace, that the Creator has laid out for us. It's not the hearers who will be blessed, but the followers. Whether you are a Christ follower is defined by what you're doing daily. If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. In first century Palestine, there were lots of people that followed Jesus for a time, right? They got a special meal, a little boy's meal with fed thousands. They heard about Jesus walking on the water. Three people were raised from the grave. They were individually healed. They saw demons being pushed out of people's bodies. They saw lives changed. They had in their mind what they wanted in life. And they began to follow Jesus. And then somewhere along the way, slowly, as they didn't find that satisfaction, whatever it was they were chasing, they drifted off. They no longer wanted Him put on the throne. And I think in some of the Gospels you can read that, you can almost see that process, that when Jesus began to discuss that, hey, there's something that you need to do. to truly honor God in your life. It's not just about what Jesus did for you. Praise God for His grace and mercy, and I thank Him for that. Praise God, without Him, I'd have no desire to be a good guy, to be a good husband, to be a good father, to be a good worker, to be a pastor. Listen, none of that. Without Jesus Christ, I'd have no desire to do that. Praise God for His grace and mercy. But listen, Jesus is looking down to you and says, listen, there's something for you to do. Got something for you to do. People come back then, they came to listen to Him for many different reasons, just as today. You're here this morning, and everyone who hears my voice, you all have differing reasons, right? Is it because you think, well, I got a box I want to check to say, oh yeah, I went to church this morning? Is it a tradition? You know, well, my mammy and pappy went, so I just go, this is what I do. Listen, there's some value in that, right? I've talked about it in my own family, you know, that I find value in church just because this is a stable thing in my life. I know where I'm going to be Sunday morning. I know where I'm going to be Wednesday night. Listen, can we say there's some value in stability in our life today? Because so much else has happened. There is value in that. Don't misunderstand me. But is that all you're here for, just to follow? Or did you come here this morning truly with the mindset of, Lord Jesus, I want you on the throne of my life. And I'm there to listen to that foolish pastor and think, you know, there may be something he says I can take and go and put into practice. Did you come here this morning with that mindset? Or did you just come here because this is what I do? Go to church. Why are you listening? Are you truly seeking to pursue Jesus? If you are, understand, it requires a denial of self. I know sometimes it seems as though in our country, and I only say our country because I don't know, I've never lived in any other country, but it seems like the pursuit in our country is all about independence, you know, making your own decision, doing your own thing, deciding what to do. I mean, think about how so many things have been going on over the last few years in this life, the last few years in this country, in the world, and how so many people are fighting amongst themselves because I want to do what I want to do. And Jesus is saying, listen, put me on the throne. Put me on the throne. Listen to me, and you're going to find rest for your soul. You've got to quit saying, I want to do what I want to do, and say, I want to do what you say, Jesus. If you truly want to find the peace that He wants you to have, He's your Creator. He was there before you were born. He knows your heart. He knows what's happening to you. He knows what's going to happen to you tomorrow. He knows who holds tomorrow. Or I know who holds tomorrow, right? Him. Jesus says it requires stepping, putting yourself aside. Putting you on the side. We're told of one man in particular in the Gospels who walked away from Jesus sorrowful. Do you remember? He's a rich man. He had lots of things. And Jesus looked at him and says, I know what the problem is. These are my words, not Jesus' words. But in a sense, he looks at him and says, I know what your problem is. All these things have got a hold of you. Just get rid of them all. Get rid of them all and come and follow me. And he walked away sorrowful. Because you see, all those things had him. Instead of him having those things, he didn't realize it, but all those things had him. And he walked away sorrowful. We don't know the end of the story. Maybe someday he, I hope he did, that he decided that Jesus was the right answer. But understand, following Jesus, you and I are not all called to sell every we have and follow him. But I'm going to tell you, there's something in your life you ought to be letting go of. I don't know what it is. That's between you and God. But in order to put him truly in his rightful place, there's some things you need to be letting go of. Jesus tells us here that giving up our personal pursuits in this life will result in a win. That goes so against our nature. I win by getting, by getting, by getting. And Jesus says, step back. Listen to me. Whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. I don't know how it got lost instead of lose. What that's supposed to say. Whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Pretty strong words. you worship yourself, and in time, you will lose what you even think you have. You worship yourself, if all you do is decide, what do I want this morning? Rick, what do you want? Go get that thing. Go chase that thing down and pile it up and stack it in the backyard. Eventually, Jesus is saying, you're going to lose your life. It's going to go away. This is not just talking about eternity. This is talking about our day-to-day decisions here and now. In 2021, here in August. He's talking about now. You chase after all those things, and all you think about is yourself. Eventually, you're losing. You've lost. Whoever loses my life, loses his life for my sake, will find it. Remember again, in the Gospels, there was a rich man who had so many things. He was proud of himself. Boy, I got so many stuff. What should I do? And he talks to himself. I tell you what you should do, Rick. They'll go build some barns, some bigger barns, so you can put more of that stuff in there. And Jesus says, you fool, today's your day. You're done. All that stuff that you build up now, who's going to have that stuff? Where's it going to go? It's going to Route 50 in the dump or whatever, wherever your dump is in this area. It's going to go in the dump. It's going to be in the trash. My mother-in-law passed away. We're still dealing with getting rid of stuff. Bless my mother-in-law, wonderful lady. Frustrating, though. You sit and think, all these years, she built this stuff, gathered this stuff, and eventually somebody's just throwing it away. Somebody's getting rid of it. Some of us may keep some of those keepsakes, but eventually it's all going to deteriorate. It's all going to be gone, and yet you focus all your life on chasing after these things, chasing after self, that next new thing, that next car that's racing down the street. What is it? Boy, I'm going to get that. Boy, oh, if I get that, it's going to solve everything. It's going to fix everything. Jesus said, you keep doing that. Just don't understand. You're losing your life. But if you let go of that thing, you quit looking for cars, look for Jesus. Focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. Attempt to say, Jesus, what would you have me to do? Listen, that requires us coming to church, right? It requires us studying His Word. That requires us to get to know Him. And as we get to know Him, we got to choose to follow Him, to put it into practice. Why do we work so hard in chasing after so many things that are different? Why is that? Now, when we're young, you think, oh, that's... Listen, I don't care how old you are. We're susceptible to still chasing after the next thing, whatever that is. Jesus says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. You will find rest for your soul. So you find it interesting, Jesus says, you want to find rest? Put on a yoke. Now, you farmers, those of you who've worked the fields or ever did in your life or seen it, you know what put something upon the shoulders of an animal so you can control it. Choose to serve me. Listen, if you're not serving Him, you know you're serving something. Whether it's yourself, whether it's your someone in your family, whether it's your boss, you're serving something. I don't care who you are this morning. And you may not think it, you may not realize it, but if you take a moment and you think about it, you're serving something. I mean, it may change periodically, but overall, you're serving something. And Jesus says, "Serve me, serve me. Put me in the rightful place in your life, on the throne of your life." He says, "I'm gentle and lowly in heart." I don't know about you, but I'd like to have a boss who's gentle and lowly in heart. I want someone that cares about me. I want someone who knows my needs before I even know them. And someone who's going to go above and beyond. And I tell you, here this morning, Jesus Christ goes above and beyond. Work for me, and you're going to find rest for your souls. That goes against our nature. Again, boy, I got to work for myself. I got to build things up. I got to gather things. Rest, peaceful rest, is found in working for the Lord. Chasing after this peaceful rest is not found in the personal pursuit of happiness. What will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and yet forfeits his soul? Now, when I read this, the first many times that I've read this scripture, I often think he's talking about eternity, right? you did all this stuff throughout your life and you forfeit your soul. You spent an eternity in hell. You lost everything. That word soul there that is also interpreted elsewhere in the Bible as life. What he's talking about here, I believe, is much deeper than just eternity. It's just talking about the depth of our being, right? Who we are or who we value or maybe I should say who God values in us or what God values in us. It's so much more than just this idea of losing eternity, which again, obviously, that's kind of beyond our time, right? He's talking about even here and now. You're losing your soul today. You're not really finding life as God intended it to be. And can I say that He knows, the Creator of the universe knows what will bring you peace? Can I say that? Do you believe that? He knows. Listen, I serve a God that's there tomorrow. He's always there. He's there tomorrow. He was there yesterday. I don't understand it all, but I serve a God that I believe with all my heart, knows it all. What will it profit you? If you've gained all this stuff and in the midst of it, you look back and you say, what a wasted life. Again, soul here speaks of the depth of a person's being. It's so easy for us to see that in the future. Take a survey now. Where are you at? Are you pursuing personal satisfaction in your life? So focused on self. Dog is so determined. He's running down off the hill. He's going after it. And in the midst of that, what all is he missing? How is he? Not only is he damaging himself, but he's damaging his family. He's damaging those who he had suggested he loves the most. Damaging his community. Are you on the throne of your life? Regularly, just as Joe said. He's ahead of you. Just keep at it. Pick up your feet and put them down. Keep moving. Lean upon others, right? Seek encouragement from other fellow Christians. I've got someone in my family that I'll call periodically when I need to get a little encouragement. I'll be okay. The Lord's on your side. But you might ask, you know, and listen, it's not an unfair question. Well, what do I get for all this stuff? You know, yes, I get eternity, but what do I get? Or help me understand. What am I going to get for this? You're no different than the Apostle Peter. It may surprise you if you don't know your Bible well that Peter himself said that. Listen, Jesus had that conversation about that rich man walking off. He talks about this requirement of giving things up. Peter says, we've left everything and followed you. We've left it all, but what do we have? He was thinking about that. This is the Apostle Peter who had spent 3 years with Jesus, listening to him, watching him. He had intent on Jesus being on the throne of his life. He was not a perfect man. That was his desire, and this is the thought that he wrestled with. What's in it for me, Jesus? I know you're asking that. I know you are. You're thinking, what am I getting out of all this? The Bible teaches, first of all, that right living is ultimately a gift in and of itself. I hope you've come to understand that at some point in your life, that doing the right thing in itself can bring a blessing. What a blessing it is to have done the right thing for somebody, whether it's a co-worker, a neighbor, a sister, a brother, someone in the community. That's the God light that lights off in us that says, you did the right thing. There is this general sense of blessings coming from simply doing the right thing. Listen, that's very true. And it's a biblical concept, but I've found it in my own life, as I hope you have as well, that Jesus reminds us in numerous places that whatever you do, it's not going to be forgotten. For the Son of Man, again, that's a title that Jesus uses for himself. For the Son of Man is going to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then will repay each person according to his deeds. How many of you have done something at work and nobody recognized it? How many of you have done something for your family and no one recognized it? They didn't appreciate it. How many of you have done things for this church? Nobody appreciated it. The things that you do in the dark, the things that you do behind the scenes, the things that people scoff and think you're stupid for doing, God sees them. He sees them all. Understand, I've talked to some of my coworkers, and as I'm telling them, I'm reminding myself as well, when you don't feel a sense of appreciation in your work, you know, I say, listen, my appreciation is in my God. He's the only one that I ultimately look for one reason, that helps me keep Him on the throne, and secondly, quite often, He's the only one that's paying attention. Jesus here says He is paying attention. He appreciates it. Truly I say to you, whoever gives you a cup of water to drink because you belong to Christ will by no means lose his reward. Something as simple as picking up a glass out of your counter, walking over to the sink, turning on the water, and walking out to a guy who's handed you your package that day. You hand him a glass of water. Jesus says, I'm going to remember that. I'm going to remember everything you did. I don't know about you, but I find a sense of a joy in that. To think and realize, listen, I know no one else saw it. I know no one else appreciates it. Jesus appreciates it. He's watching. He's paying attention. Let me ask you this morning, are you still serving the foolish God? If you're serving yourself, you're still are serving the foolish God. Seeking happiness in anything other than filtering it through the Lord Jesus Christ ultimately is going to bring nothing but hardship to your life. Now, you may not see it. It may be years before it comes around, but I'm going to tell you, at some point in your life, you're going to realize putting yourself before the throne is not the right decision. Who's on the throne? Is it time for you to maybe examine where you are and make some changes so that you can find that rest for your soul that Jesus is looking for? Father, we thank you. We thank you for this word. We ask you to guide each of us here this morning as we ponder this truth. We hope and pray that it would penetrate and that we would take from it whatever it is you'd have for each of us. Help us, Lord, honor you, Lord. Help us to have that desire to do that. In Jesus' name. As we prepare, I want to tell you, putting Jesus on the throne of your life looks different for all.